Well, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 10 is kind of the area we're focusing on. Treasure in our jars of clay is our focus today. I read this verse probably earlier in the week, I think. And it was just something the Lord just, he gave that to me and said, this is what you needed to hear today. And I just really, the Lord kind of brought me back to it for our, kind of our end of the year and beginning of 2020. How weird is that to say? I'm telling you. We're here at the end of this year. Kind of this what the new year kind of makes us think about. End of 2019, the end of the decade of the teens, the 20 teens, right? Wow. I remember when 2020 was one of those things, probably back in the decade before this one we're in, maybe 2006 or 5 or who knows. And I thought 2020 was like, oh my gosh, that just seems like forever away. It just seems so far in the future. It just wasn't even on my radar. And it's like, what's today's date? The 29th. So yeah, you just got a couple of days, and I'm like, wow, it's kind of mind-blowing. And many of us have had a pretty challenging year. Maybe a pretty challenging couple of years. There have been losses, there have been tragedies and hurts in our lives. People are going through changes. Maybe it's changes in age. Maybe it's a change of moving into adulthood. Maybe it's a change in moving into child, having kids. Maybe it's thinking that, my goodness, I'm not that far from retirement. Or maybe, you know, empty nest. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just a change in where you're at. And many are still in the midst of struggles. Some just beginning struggles that we don't really know what they're going to bring. And it kind of leaves us feeling a lot of different ways. For some people, there's a lot of excitement and anticipation. Some people, they're in a place where they're dreaming about what's to come, and they're excited about it, they're hopeful. And then there's some of us that are, it makes us feel fearful or feeling depressed or down, or maybe we just feel empty. Maybe we just feel kind of worn out. The Lord reminded me of this truth, like I said before, and I felt like it was something we needed to keep in mind, that no matter what side of the scale we feel like we're on here in life, either it's tipping this way or tipping that way, we are all, regardless of excited or fearful, we are all clay pots. We're all fragile. We're all breakable. Every last one of us. We chip, right? We crack. We spill. We leak. We get old and not so shiny. But whatever side of this we're on, we choose the source of life that we look to keep us filled. We choose that. And we choose either a limited and finite source of either myself, or others in our lives that we lean to, that they're going to be the ones that get me through this. Or the world, something in the world, some source or something that the world gives us is going to be somehow what keeps us filled. Or we are looking in the midst of all of this life that we live, the unlimited God of grace and love. You see the difference between those choices? Because God's asking, I think he's asking us, and he was asking me, what is your source of life? What is your source of life? It's a pretty important question. And we're the only ones that can answer it, aren't we? Well, let's stand as we read our verse together today. Let's read together. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Lord, thank you for giving us this truth that we can hang on to. Lord, this day, throughout this year, really, it is a life truth that we have to settle and oftentimes go back to and remind ourselves. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would apply this to us in ways that go deep, deep in our hearts and lives, deep in the everyday fabric of our experience, that we remember where our source of life is, who our source of life is. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing the work that only you can do. We'll trust you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Well, while you're sitting, I'm noticing that nobody plugged in the tree. I'm plugging the tree in. You know, it's still up. There. Better? I think that's better. We're still turning on the tree at home. All right. Well, today we're really going to let God's Word do most of the speaking. He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? He is the one that brings abundant life. His Word is the truth that will change and transform us. Not my words. Not anybody else's, not somebody you see on the radio or hear on a podcast or on TV. It is this living word, living breath of life, come fill me up. What a powerful song that is. So we're going to let God's word speak. We're just going to ask that the unlimited grace of God, the unlimited love of God, fill us today and speak to where each one of us needs to hear him. Our verse starts in chapter 4, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the light. But you know what I found was really neat in this verse? That God has always been the one to enter into our darkness. Right? Emmanuel is what? God came to be with us, right? He entered into, on Good Friday, the darkness of our death, right? He took upon himself the darkness of our sin. He entered into and experienced our pain, right? He didn't just kind of like do a, you know, pull out a flashlight and from up here shine down on us. He entered into our darkness and became light right there within the midst of it. Right there within the midst of it. God has always been a God of coming and relations to us, relationship, coming to be with us, calling us to himself. He's that light, that lamp from within, rather than something that shines from without. So when the light shines, he shines out of the darkness, right? Let the light shine what? Out of darkness. It shines with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. There is light in his word. There is truth that illuminates us from the inside out. It talks about the glory of God. Where do we find it? Where does the verse say? In the face of Jesus. It made me think of something that I just prayed yesterday at Donna's homegoing service. I wrap up funerals with this blessing. It's a traditional blessing of the Old Testament. It was a way that God taught the Israelites to bless one another. Listen to this. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The knowledge of the glory of God, where in the face of Christ Jesus, that face that turns towards you, that turns to you in love and care and compassion. It's a powerful thing. It reminded me of another verse. It talks about in Colossians, the riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of what? Hope of glory. The glory of the face of Jesus, the hope. It's Christ in you. It's not just a future hope, is it? It's Christ in you now, today, as we have trusted in him and said, I'm a sinner. I have gone my own way. I've tried to do things my way instead of yours. And now I've come to the place of recognizing there is no other way but yours. Every other way is our own way. God is the way of truth. And when I come to you, I put my faith and trust in you, no longer myself, right? And that's that turn where I say, I acknowledge I can't do this the right way myself. You alone know the right way because you created me. So now I turn and I begin to follow you and I start trusting in you. And the moment that turning happens, that changing of the heart away from self and on to trusting in Christ, Christ in you becomes reality. The hope of glory begins in that moment. And we are changed. Amen, church? Were you changed when Christ came into your life? Was there all of a sudden a different you there than there was before? How many would say that there was a difference? God changed me when I put my faith in him. I became a different person, and he changed me. And that's a present hope, right? Christ in me. That's that light that shines out of our darkness. Verse 7 goes on to say, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay are us. We're just pots. We're clay pots. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. And that was the verse that God really spoke to me about when he said, the power is not yours. The dependence does not need to be on you and what you can or cannot do. The power is God's. It belongs to him and him alone. And I'll tell you, that becomes very real when you are at the end of your strength, when there's just nothing. You got nothing. You got nothing left. And you're like, that's those moments where not just I'm really tired, but how am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to do it? There's just nothing in the tank. And God reminds us, you have this treasure in your clay pot. The surpassing power. What does surpassing power mean? What does it mean when something surpasses? It goes beyond. Yeah, it's like more than enough. This over the top, more than enough. What did Ephesians say in Ephesians 3? Exceedingly and abundantly more than we could even ask or even imagine. That is the surpassing power of God that is available to each one of us. And it belongs to whom? God, and not to us. Now, every Christian would say, oh, yep, okay, I know that. But also, every one of us find ourselves in those places where we are still trying to drive and do our lives on our own strength. And especially when we come to the end of ourselves and we're like, how am I going to do this? It's like, well, how are you supposed to be doing it all along? It doesn't matter how much of your strength you have in your tank. It's how much of God is saying, of me do you have in your tank? When we come to the end of, how am I going to do this? It's because we've been oftentimes just running on our own strength. Sometimes life can just sap us dry, and that's true. It's not a black or white, it's always this or always that. There's so much of the difficulty of trials of life living that we find ourselves in those empty places. But what this verse is telling us is that we can't go back to our tendencies, and that's to fill ourselves up from other sources, right? There's one source that's going to that's surpassing in power, and that is Christ. We can find ourselves, and I do this. I just want to disconnect. I just want to just stop the world. I just want to get off because I just don't want to, or I can't. I'm just done. And what I tend to do is find myself going to places where I feel like it's going to rest. I'll find rest there. And it's usually just mindless things, you know, reading something or watching mindless TV or something like that, thinking that that's going to refresh me, and it really doesn't. What I need to do is go back to the source that from where the surpassing power comes from. And that usually helps me to figure it out before too awful long. And it's there that we ask and we receive, right? We seek and he meets us in our darkness and we find. And we knock and say, Lord, I'm just... And doors are opened. Because he's good. He's good. This other verse is so powerful. He said to me, oh, back up, sorry. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. It's okay to go to God and say, I'm a wreck, God. I'm done. I don't know. I'm so worn out. I'm so hurting, so broken. I don't know what's next. God says, bring that to me. That's where the power of Christ dwells, in our weakness. It's where the power dwells. The all-surpassing power that fills our clay pots, right? And again, this is, I think it's similar to how God doesn't just shine a light down on us, but he enters into our darkness. This is that the power of Christ, it doesn't say may dwell on me, but in me. Again, he enters into our world, into our darkness, into our struggle, and the power comes into it, not just onto it, right? There's a difference, isn't there? It's that, my favorite song, you know, from a distance, God is watching us. Hate that song. God doesn't just sit there and watch us from a distance and go, look at that. Going through some tough stuff. Maybe I'll throw some stuff down and help him out. You know, no, God enters into our darkness. He is right here with me. That's why that we spent that whole month about Emmanuel. It is such a powerful word. God with us. It's powerful. Well, this verse goes on in verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. We go through stuff. But somehow, in the midst of being crushed, being persecuted, being perplexed, feeling struck down, that Jesus is manifesting himself right there in the midst of it. Right there. He comes into our darkness. There's a verse that says we share in his glory, in Jesus' glory. Anybody know what the other half of that is? As we are sharing in his suffering, yeah. We share in his suffering so that we will be able to share in his glory. Somehow or other, and I don't know, I still don't know how that can work, how we can share in the glory of Jesus. How can we claim anything of what Jesus has done for us? It was because of us that he had to come and do it. How am I going to somehow, it's like, oh, you came to rescue me because I sinned and made a mess of things. Yay! Jesus died for me and I'm I was part of that. No, I wasn't. I was part of what caused it. And yet somehow Jesus says, you go through some suffering in your life and you will. And in the midst of that, somehow, you're going to share in my glory. I'm just like, I have no business sharing in your glory. And yet that's his offer to us. It's mind-blowing. The power of Christ dwelling in me is his life in me. This next verse, if you're looking for a life verse, a verse to memorize, a verse to just say, I'm going to hang on to this in the midst of what I'm going through. This is a powerful verse. Galatians, oh, no, I didn't change that at the bottom. Galatians 2:20. So disregard the 2 Corinthians 12:9. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not my life anymore. When I put my faith in him, my life went away. I began to have the privilege of living the life of Christ as he lives his life through me. Man, that's some powerful stuff. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see how that is? It's throughout Scripture, this desire for God to be in relationship with his creation, with his beloved creation. He loves you. He loves you so much that he would go through all that he went through to come and indwell you. Now, some of you might think, wait, so if I follow Jesus, I'm signing up for suffering? Nope. That's enough trouble in my life. I'm thinking I don't need any more. You're going to have trials no matter what. Right? Jesus told us that. In this world, you will have trials. You will. But take heart. For I have overcome the world. That's right, Chris. I have overcome the world. Trusting in him doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden going to have trials. Trusting in him means you will now have God the Son walking with you in the midst of the trials that you are going to have. Jesus enters into our darkness because he loves us. And this trusting means the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So, as we are entering into this coming year, whatever that holds for us, whether that be joyful, good, and exciting, and can't wait, or I'm in the midst of it, and I don't know what it's going to look like. We have this power that belongs to God and not to us. This treasure in our jars of clay. Know that. Hang on to that. If you've never made this decision to say, I'm going to take my trust off of myself or this world and put it solely on you, Jesus. If you haven't made that decision, it's that simple. Lord, I take my trust off of myself and off of what this world is offering, and I put it, Jesus, on you. The source of surpassing power. I love what the disciples said when people started ditching Jesus. He said something hard and people started leaving. I can't follow this guy anymore. This is pretty radical stuff he's saying. And Jesus asked his disciples, will you leave me also? And they said, Lord, to whom else can we go? Where else am I going to go? Everyone else disappoints. Everything else disappoints. Jesus never disappoints. Well, we're just going to close with a word of prayer today. Just bow our heads for a moment. I just want to let the Holy Spirit just speak to you for a moment and maybe put his finger on an area that he wants to enter into for you, with you, on behalf of you. Just let the Holy Spirit bring that to your mind. Keeping our heads bowed, I'm just going to ask you to open your hands, face palm up, place whatever it is that in your mind's eye that the Holy Spirit spoke to you about in your hands, and just lift it up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. Fill me with your power. Fill this situation with your power. Just as an act of faith, lift it up to him and allow him to fill it with his power. Lord, there may be a boatload of different things, every one of them unique and different from what the next person has. But Lord, I know that you are faithful and able to meet the need in each and every situation. Would you bless these dear ones that have lifted up their needs to you, Lord God? Would you bless their situation? God, fill it with your power, your leading, your direction, your hope, your healing, Lord, your touch. Would you fill it with your presence, Lord, that they might know that you are with them. You have promised to be the life in them, that they would be living your life out, not their own. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we release it to you. And thank you, God, for being a faithful God to take it and work out your perfect and good plans in this. We give it to you, Lord, by faith. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. Let us, by faith, leave them there and have your faith eyes open and begin to start to watch to see how God shows up to be all that you need for each and every day. And I know that he will be faithful. Well, God bless you as you go. I want you to go kind of like when I turn the tree on. Let's go lit with joy, with expectation and faith to know that God is going to be faithful. Amen? Amen. God bless you. And we'll see you next year. Love you, church. We'll talk to you soon.